Father in heaven, we praise you. So glad that Jesus conquered the grave, rose from the dead on the third day. We believe in that resurrection. That resurrection power is alive and well today, working in this place, working in our hearts, working in our lives, working in our bodies, our finances, our minds, our relationships, life, resurrection life. And so we thank you. You're the master at raising things from the dead. So we give you praise. We give you glory. I thank you. You're still doing signs and wonders, still doing miracles. We're grateful today, Father. And I thank you for the supernatural occurring in this service today. Thank you for utterance. Thank you for boldness. I yield myself to the Holy Spirit. I pray for this congregation, eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts that are receptive. Even the hardest heart, Father, you meet them at their point of need, Father. Exactly what they need, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. You may be seated. If you have your Bibles, turn over to Acts chapter 3. Been talking about refreshing all this year so far. Can you believe it's January 22nd already? Acts chapter 3, verse 19. This is the Amplified Version. It says, "So repent." You know, repent is this big word that we say, but it just means turn and go the other direction. So repent, change your mind and purpose. Turn around and return to God, that your sins may be erased, blotted out, wiped clean. The times of refreshing. Everybody say times of refreshing. Times of refreshing, of recovery from the effects of heat. We know about heat around here in Augusta. This area, we know about being hot. We know about being refreshed from the heat of reviving with fresh air may come from the presence of the Lord. And that's where it comes from. Refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord. And the Lord is just not present during church services. He's with us 24/7. And we can have refreshing wherever we're at and wherever, whatever we're going through. And who so far are you? You sense refreshing already happening in your life, spiritually. So, so many hands going up. The word refresh means to give new strength or energy, reinvigorate, stimulate, renovate, refill. And that's what He wants to do. The Lord wants to do that for each one of us. And one of the ways to do that is through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to talk about the Holy Spirit today, maybe a controversial subject in the body of Christ is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. I want to take that on and deal with it because it's vital to our refreshing. And I'm not going to share my experience or someone else's experience. I'm going to go to the Word of God. And that's what you need to do with anything, any doctrine, any teaching. We have to go to the Bible and not just find it in one place, but all throughout the Bible. And I'll clearly show you what God's will is concerning speaking in tongues and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So turn over to John chapter 14. Gospel of John chapter 14. Let's look at verse 16. And I'll be reading the Amplified Version. Amplified Version is a good translation to have, to study with. And it just does what it says. It amplifies words. A lot of times you see parentheses and additional words kind of give a additional meaning to some of the English words to help us, because the Greek is a very rich language, deeper than the English, and so it helps us see certain things. But John chapter 14, verse 16 says, "And I will ask the Father," this is from the Gospels, this is in red in my Bible, this is Jesus talking, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Comforter." And the Comforter, let's talk about the Holy Spirit, He's the Counselor, the Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby, Empowerer, I don't know, other word, Encourager, He's a whole lot of things with ER on the end of it. And that's what he is for us, that he may remain with you forever. Not a temporary thing, permanent. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome, take to its heart, because it does not see him or know him and recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. And Jesus was a radical. Jesus brought radical ideas, and that's why they crucified him. I know it was the plan of God, but I mean, he just gave the religious people fits. And he just brought some new things to the earth. And one of the things was the whole concept of the Holy Spirit living in people. Because in the Old Covenant, it talked about the Holy Spirit. He came upon temporarily the prophet, the priest, and the king for ministry. And you can read about it. It says the Holy Spirit came upon certain people and then they would do certain things. But Jesus brought some new ideas and something radical in saying that the Holy Spirit will actually come and live in the life of the believer. And not just temporarily, but permanently. So he will give us a helper. And when Jesus says something, he says what he says he will do. And one of the questions that that's asked in the body of Christ is, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, does it happen when we're born again, or is it a separate experience? And I want to show you clearly that it's a separate experience. And again, I'll show you from the Word of God, but there's a difference between being filled with the Holy Spirit and being born again. Let's look over in Acts chapter 1, verse 5. Acts chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And this is where the whole idea of the baptism of the Holy Spirit was introduced. It's not man's words, it's the words from Jesus. And there is baptism in water, and I think you've seen that, or hopefully you've experienced it's a command of Jesus. But when you're baptized in water, you're immersed, correct? And when I baptize somebody, I put them all the way underwater, and I kind of hold them there for a second. Not trying to punish anybody. Don't be afraid of any baptism at the Good News Church. But I want to make sure they're immersed. You know, as a child in the church that I grew up with, when I was a baby, they sprinkled me. They call that a baptism, but that's not correct. And I'm not trying to put anybody down, but and we don't want to be submerging babies in water. That wouldn't be good. But baptized, the word baptized means to be immersed. So Jesus said we'd be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he said not many days from that. He's talking about the days of Pentecost. So in Acts, let's look at Acts chapter 2 now. Acts chapter 2, verse 32. "This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses, therefore being exalted to the right hand of God, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear." So there was a promise of the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, it was poured out. You remember that part where they spoke in tongues and other languages? That was the day of Pentecost. Verse 38 says, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ,'" talking about being baptized in water, "'for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" And how many know a gift is something that you receive? Salvation is a gift. Healing is a gift. Righteousness is a gift. It's something that we receive by faith. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a gift. Now, who's a candidate? Who's a candidate for the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Every person. And you must be born again first. You must be saved first. But every, you know, saved person is a candidate. And who can be saved? Well, the Bible says that God desires all men to be saved. So all 6 billion people on the face of the earth have the opportunity to be saved. Not all are saved. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, is for every person, every believer. Now, he was sent on the day of Pentecost, and he doesn't need to be sent again. Let's look over at Acts chapter 8. Now, here I want to show you the separation between being born again and being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's very clear in Acts chapter 8. And I just want to encourage you, just open your hearts here today. You know, this may be something you've never heard about, and I believe God's got something awesome for you today. So just open your heart and open your spirit to Him and receive what He has. And I believe there'll be no fear here today, just boldness. When you want something from God, just go out and take it and receive it. He's got good things for you. Acts chapter 8, verse 5, it says, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them." What did he preach? He preached the gospel. Jesus came to the earth. He lived in as a man, died on the cross, rose on the third day, preached the gospel. You know, receive this. So he preached that to Samaria. Verse 12 says what happened. When they believed Philip as he preached, the gospel must be preached, it must be heard. And so the people in Samaria believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Both men and women were baptized in water. That happens here at the church. People who are saved will have a baptism service. Baptism in water, it's a command, fulfilling the command of Jesus. Going public with your faith. That's what we call it here. Going public with your faith. So you see what happens. Saved, baptized in water. Now, let's look at verse 14. Now, the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God. They had the gospel preached to them. The leaders of the church, early church, were in Jerusalem. They sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Do you see that? Can you see how it's a separate experience? Prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They'd only been baptized, talking about being baptized in water, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So it's a separate experience. And I want to illustrate this. Rick, if you could help me here. Thank you, Rick. Get over here, this hand. When we're born again, I'm not going to drip yet. Don't get nervous. When we're born again, the Spirit of God is there, because the Bible says you cannot say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. The Spirit of God draws people. He convicts people. And it's by His help that we can make Jesus our Lord and be saved. But when we're talking about being baptized, now I've just showed you it's a separate experience. When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God is there in your life. But what happens, there's a filling. And this is what happens. You're filled up to overflowing. As you see this glass here, the water is around the edges, it's filled up. And that's what's called being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Let's dump that in there, Rick. Now, good job, Rick. Appreciate it, sir. You got that? And in Acts chapter 1, it says that the Spirit of God comes up on you. And so this is something, again, for all of us to receive this. It's a gift to receive this after that we're saved. Acts chapter 10, verse 44. And this is really the plan of God. This is really the ideal setting here in Acts 10, verse 44. When Peter was still speaking these words, remember the story about the supernatural vision that Peter had, and then Cornelius, God spoke to him and sent some people to Peter that their family needed Jesus, and Peter went to Joppa. Well, this is Peter talking here, Acts chapter 10, verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. And really the best, someone can be saved and baptized the same day, the same hour, if they know and if they understand. Again, it's by faith. You have to have, you know, when we're dealing with people, we always share the word when we concerning salvation or whatever we have for you to receive from God. And so here, they were born again and filled with the Holy Spirit on the same day. And how do we know that? They heard them speak in tongues. Tongues is this initial sign of the filling or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Now, so what is tongues? What is tongues? When the Bible is talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, it's talking about the language of the Holy Spirit. It's talking about a supernatural language. Now, I speak English. Hopefully, I'm speaking English today. That y'all, you know, hear me and understand. But I've had Spanish. 4 years of Spanish, and it's sad to say how little Spanish I can speak. But I know some words from other languages. But there's a language of the Holy Spirit. And so like when I pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues, it's the Holy Spirit connected with my spirit praying words that my mind does not understand. And it's to other people, it sounds foreign. So to me, it sounds foreign. You could say it sounds like gibberish. It's words that I don't understand with my mind. But it's the Holy Spirit praying through me. And it's an amazing, supernatural thing. And it's something that God has for each one of us. And being baptized in the Holy Spirit is easy. Has anybody drank something today? Hopefully you have. Anybody have some coffee? Water? Was it difficult? Was it hard? It was easy. And it's the same thing with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's very easy to receive. Now, our mind can get in the way. Maybe the teaching can get in the way. Experience, people's past experience can get in the way. But it's very easy to receive. Look at what it says over in John 7. John 7, verse 37. It says, on the last day of that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Look at the analogy he's using. If you thirst, if you're open to God, you're hungry for the things of God, you're desiring the things of God, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So he's saying, if you thirst, come to me. And I will give you something to drink. He's talking about the Spirit of God. I will give you something to drink. I will fill you up. And then it says, out of your belly. See, that's where the Spirit, your spirit is. It's in your belly. It says, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Comes out of you. And that's why one of the evidences, again, of being, it's not the only part of being filled with the Holy Spirit, but it's an evidence, it's a sign. It's so that you know that you are filled. Well, Pastor, I'm a little concerned about all this. What happens if you pray for me and I receive something else. I mean, I've heard about all these other spirits. Well, I've got a scripture for you. Let's look over in Luke chapter 11, verse 11. I mean, God's got it all figured out. He's got answers for every question, every fear you have. He's got a solution and answer for it. Luke 11, verse 11 says this: if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So you ask the Father, you don't have to be afraid about receiving something else. You ask for the Holy Spirit, you will receive the Holy Spirit. And again, it's a gift. He's offering it to us today. Now, how many here today, just a show of hands, how many are baptized in the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues? Raise your hand. Most of you are. And so as I'm saying this today, you've heard this before. You've been filled. You speak in tongues. You've heard this before. So what's in it for me today? Well, several different things. First of all, our mission here is empowering people to give life. I want the members of Good News Church to know how to lead someone else in this. I don't want to be the only guy that knows how to minister to people. I want you to be able to minister to this. So I encourage you to get this CD today. Go back to your Abundant Life Manual. We've got some outlines in there. But go over these scriptures, become familiar with it, so you can share this with someone else so they can receive. Or get a copy of the CD today for someone else that you know that may be open to this, to give them a copy to hear the Word of God preached. But also, look in your Bibles over in Ephesians chapter 5. That the filling with the Holy Spirit is not just a one-time thing. Ephesians 5 verse 18, Amplified, says this: but do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. I do a little study in the Greek, and it talks about being filled. It's a continual process. If you look, read through the Acts of the apostles, it'll talk about Peter or different people when they got up to minister. It says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So there's a refilling. It doesn't, not necessarily something we have to ask for, but as we do spiritual things, praise, prayer, study of the Word, these things fill us up. Now, we don't have to go through that again, Rick, but you know, you saw when I filled that glass up. How many know that we put out spiritually? A lot of people here at Good News Church, because we believe in equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. People at Good News Church do a whole lot of ministry. And when you do ministry, you're just pouring a little bit out. And have you ever gotten to the place where you poured so much out that you got weak? So we need to be refilled. And that's the place the Lord wants us to be refilled. And that's what we're talking about at the beginning of this year. To be filled, to be full of God, to be energized, to be refreshed. Because I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, we are in one of the most amazing years of ministry the body of Christ has ever experienced. We're in it right now. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, you're going to have opportunities that you would never have dreamed of to minister in 2012. And I want to go ahead and get you ready right now, because you'll be standing in certain places and you'll remember this message, and you'll be standing there and you're wondering, how did I get here? And you're going to need the wisdom of God. And you're going to need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says when you're in those places where you don't know what to say, trust Him and He will fill your mouth. Maybe this is the year you lead a family member to Jesus. Nate, is this okay, Nate, to share? Nate's been believing for his brother to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I mean, they're twins. Did you joke it? You've always been saved, Nate, since you can remember, since you were a kid. I mean, both of you guys, I mean, yeah. Saved early age. And Nate, how old were you when you heard about the Holy Spirit, like what I'm talking about today?
I got filled when I was 22, I think.
Filled when you were 22. And how old are you now, Nate?
32.
You look good for 32. You're supposed to say you look good for 50. No. I'm sowing seed. So that's been 10 years since you've been filled. And Greg has been saved and in church. He's also a youth pastor. For whatever reason, and we all have a certain reason, but he has not entered in. And you've been praying with him. You've been sharing with him. You guys have gotten in some tiffs over it. And so Nate kind of backed off. But the other day, Greg called Nate and was asking him some more questions about it. Nate prayed with him to be filled in the Holy Spirit. He was filled, right?
Woo! Woo!
Now, were you expecting that in January? That's not, I mean, it was one of those, I mean, when he told us about it, he was just in awe of God's goodness. And that's not always the case, but we can do that with family members. But I think that's just a sign for us in this year, the opportunities when we least expect it for ministry. And we need this equipment of the Holy Spirit. And if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, I believe you're handicapped.
Yeah.
It's like you're ministering with one hand tied behind your back. You don't have all the tools. I'm not saying you can't minister, but you can be more effective. And then for us that have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I think we're not utilizing things like we should. Paul said, the Apostle Paul said, I thank my God that I pray in tongues more than you all. And I don't think it's any correlation of the revelation that he had in his writings. So it's like we don't really realize what we have. I mean, think about it. I mean, it's difficult for us to even comprehend. God lives in us. That'll make your mind kind of go tilt. God, Jehovah, the creator of the heaven and earth. He lives in me. And in the Old Testament saints, they dreamed of this day. And so many of us, we just take it for granted what we have. We have this precious thing. And to be aware of it. Now, there are so many benefits, and I'm just going to just name just a few of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'll just name a few of them. Brother Hagin has a book called Why Tongues. It's a great little mini book. I don't know if we have it back there in the Resource Center or not. But in there, he gives you 10 reasons to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's like $1.25 or whatever. Get that book and go over that further. And I'm not going to go over the scriptures. I can go over scriptures for each one of these. But let me just share some of the benefits. How many like benefits? There's benefits to being a believer. And he rewards those that diligently follow him, that those that live by faith. God's a rewarder. Here's just a few of the benefits. First of all, I said this, it's an initial sign of being filled with the Holy Spirit, but then it's a continual reminder the rest of our lives. It's the evidence of the Holy Spirit indwelling us. Every time I pray in the Spirit, every time I pray in tongues, I'm aware, conscious of the fact that the Holy Spirit indwells me. You're continually conscious of His presence. And, you know, how many know when you're conscious of the presence of God, it kind of affects your behavior. Mm-hmm. And maybe we need to be a little more conscious of Him.
That's true.
But it kind of helps the way you act. It might affect the way you act at home. Maybe if we're aware of the Holy Spirit, we won't say some things. Now, if I came and lived in your house today, would you act a little bit different? No. But I mean, you know, Pastor Matt shows up at the door, and it's so funny because they don't like me showing up at the door because, you know, you can hear scrambling to get the house clean and all these different things. But if I just kind of showed up and walked around with you, or just with your life, sat with you at the lunch table or whatever, I mean, you'd be different in what you say. I mean, you'd be kind of on guard. Well, it's the same thing. It's the Holy Spirit is present with us all the time. And if we're aware of His presence, it affects our thinking, our behavior, and our words. And we know the power of our words. If it affects our words, we know if we're saying the right things, good things are going to happen. The next one is spiritual edification. Now, the folks here in Augusta don't know about cold weather. I mean, how many were cold this week when it was like 40 degrees? We're like freezing. We got the fires going, the Snuggie on, you know. We got our heat cranked up and our car seat warmer, and because we're so cold because it's 40 degrees. Well, I check the weather report for different parts of the world and country, people that I know, and I'm constantly checking on Minnesota because I'm from Minnesota. Yep. Was reading it the other day. The high was 4 above.
That's why you're from there, right?
Yeah. That's why there's a lot of people from Minnesota. Yeah. It's cold, and then that's the high. The low was like 8 below. And that's not even including the wind chill. You got to factor in the wind chill. And, you know, it was so cold. My brother Pat told me this story. It was so, I think it was like 20-something below zero. And he's out there getting gas, and he's pumping his fuel, and he gets his credit card out, and he goes to stick it in the deal, and he pulls it out, and from the time it came from his warm wallet to that machine, it froze, and it broke when he put it in there. Those pictures that you see of people with ice on their beards and all that, that's Minnesota. As they go out and get in their car. Up in Minnesota, you'll see this in different houses. They'll have a cord running from their house to their batteries overnight. Because it's important to get your car cranked. Now, how many remember the Die Hard commercials? Where did they have those commercials? International Falls, Minnesota, the most northern point. And they have those cars out there buried in snow and freezing temperature, and they go up there and they crank the car, right? Well, if you've ever had your battery go low and you had to get a charge, that's called edifying your battery. Did you know that? Edification means to build up. And when you pray in the Spirit, so you're charging your spirit like a battery. How many need to kind of turn up the cranking amps on your battery? It builds you up. It edifies you. It energizes you. So that's a good thing. And praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, it's building up believers. It's a spiritual form of communication with God. And the Bible says over in Romans 8 that you, when you're praying, again, you don't necessarily understand the words. I mean, God can show you what the words are, but that doesn't always happen. But it says when you're praying these words, you are praying, get this now, you're praying the perfect will of God. Who here has done anything perfectly lately? Susie, have I been perfect this week?
Absolutely not.
Ushers, remove this woman. She blasphemes. That'd be kind of fun one Sunday. The ushers come and kind of just drag Susie out. By the way, that wouldn't be fun. Let him try. I'm not going there. Okay. But you're praying the perfect will of God. I mean, isn't that awesome? Perfect. And you're praying about things in the future. You could be praying for some missionary in another country. You could be praying about family members. And again, God, you can, you know, we pray in the Spirit, pray with understanding. I mean, I ask the Lord to open up my mind to what I'm praying about, but He doesn't always reveal it. And then the Bible calls them mysteries. Praying out mysteries. But praying the perfect will of God, it's an awesome thing. And it eliminates selfishness. Anybody here ever prayed a selfish prayer? Probably every prayer we pray, it has a little bit of selfishness in it. It's motivated from us and from our flesh. So when you're praying in other tongues, praying in the Holy Spirit, you're praying His perfect will, and all selfishness is removed. So today I want to give those that haven't received an opportunity to receive today. We'll just receive right during the service. And then maybe there's others that have received, and whatever your prayer language hasn't developed or you haven't really done much with it, I'd like to give you a refilling today. Pray for you as well. But before I even get into any of that, I want to give those that maybe that don't know Jesus as their Lord, because in order to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you must be born again. So let me share the gospel with you and give you opportunity there. First of all, the gospel is very simple. First thing you have to know is God loves you. That's important to know, because many people feel like God doesn't love them. God's mad at them, God's out to get them. But that God loves you. And that's important to know as we go along, because that helps you realize what motivates Him. It's love for us that motivates the gospel in the first place. The second part of the gospel is man is a sinner, and I think we all know that. We all know about sin. We know all about missing the mark. We know all about making mistakes. And we can go back to Adam and thank him, because that's where when sin started, was in the garden. And everybody that's been born since then has been born with a nature to sin. And the sad part of it, if we don't do something about that nature to sin, our destiny when we die, the Bible says, is hell. And from my study of the Scripture, it's not a good place. It's not someplace you want to go. But thank God that God loved us so much that He sent His Son to live and to die for us on the cross and pay the price for our sins. And He reconciled a sinful man with a holy God. That's the gospel. Bore our sins, our sicknesses on His body, nailed it to a tree. On the third day, He rose again. And for those that are in Christ, we rose with Him. Not as seated with Him in heavenly places. And so that's the good news. And it is good news that when we die, we can know that we're going to heaven when we die. And if it was just that, that would be enough. But it's also, Jesus talks about in John 10:10, about living the abundant life. That He's got an inheritance, benefits for us here on the earth. So the last part of the gospel that involves you is to receive Jesus as your Lord. To receive Him. And Romans says, whoever calls, and it's not hard to call upon the name of the Lord, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He says, believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Believe in that resurrection. And many people believe that already. But the next part is to confess Him with our words, Jesus as our Lord. And if you'll do those two things, the Bible says you'll be saved. You'll enter into God's family. And then you'll be open for what I'm talking about here, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So every head bowed, please, every eye closed. If you're here today and you'd like to receive Jesus as your Lord, you'd like to be saved, you'd like to have that assurance that you're going to heaven, I mean, what a way to start off your year. Talk about refreshing. Being a child of God, knowing you're in, I mean, it's something you can't earn, it's a gift you receive. And you're ready right now. The only thing you have to do is believe.